Can I put this down here? Let's see. So we're looking here on Daf Chof Zayin Amid Beis. I was fascinated. Chof Vav Amid Beis, sorry. Now I was fascinated by this sugya, and my goal for today would be to learn the whole sugya inside, first to get a sort of like an overview of the sugya from beginning to end, and then to try to go back to the beginning and analyze it piecemeal. So we're counting from the bottom of Chof Vav Amid Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines up from the bottom. V'omar Rabba. The Gemara quoted various statements of Rabba in the past, and they have to do with comparing the Chiyuv Golus to the Chiyuv of Shabbos. And now the Gemara quotes another statement of Rabba. Zorak Kli Mirosh Hagag. So let's call him Reuven. Reuven throws a utensil off a high place, right, from the Rosh Hagag, and it's about to hit the ground in this case, and it'll be totally smashed. And Uba Acher will call him Shimon, and Shimon comes along Vishivro, Ushvaro, actually. He breaks the kli, b'makel, by taking a stick and smashing it.
Before it hits the ground.
Before it hits the ground. So in effect,
baseball.
You know, from the perspective of what I call the Maisa Hezek, befall, in other words, the actual, if you call it the death of the kli, and I use that word because the Gemara is going to soon talk about a similar case with regard to Misa, it was actually Shimon who was the final, you know, who brought the final blow on and destroyed the kli. But on the other hand, Rabba says Potur, the person who destroyed the kli, which is Shimon, is Potur. And the reason for that is my taima dimana tvira tov. The kli is considered as if it was already broken, even before Shimon got to break it. Since the kli is doomed to be smashed, we view it as if it's already gone. V'yomar Rabba goes a step further, and he says, Zara kli mirosh hagag. Let's say, in this case, the kli, even though it's flying down from the top of the roof, it's not going to be destroyed. Why not? V'hoyu tachtov korim oksosos. In other words, there was something there to cushion the fall. We'll call it pillows. Now, ba acher v'silkon. Now notice that Rabba doesn't say what he said before. In the first case, Rabba says, ba acher ushvaro. He broke it. He took a makel and he smashed it. But in the second case, ba acher v'silkon, and in effect, what the Acher, we'll call him again, Shimon, is doing, what kind of impact is he having now on the Zrika of Reuven?
He's changing the thing that was going to be not broken.
Right, by removing,
that is broken.
Correct, by removing the Karim Uksusos, he really, in effect, now sort of impacts on the original Zrika of Reuven, but I don't know if Reuven's going to be culpable for that, because Reuven himself was throwing the kli onto the Karim Uksusos. So we can't really hold Reuven responsible for the fact that Shimon changed the rules of the game and made it such that now Reuven's original Zrika is a Maisa Hezek. We're not going to impact on a Maisa Hezek Lamafreya. But what happens if Reuven himself would remove the Karim Uksusos? And that's what Rabba wants to address now. Oh, Shekadam, okay, I added the Shin, Kadam Visilkan, meaning he himself, Reuven the Zorek, now goes down and removes the Karim Potter. Nevertheless, Reuven is Potter. This is a really cool operation, if you follow what I mean.
Potter goes on Reuven and not on Shimon?
Well, again, I'm talking about the second case. You're right. In the case,
three cases here.
Right. I'm saying in the last case. Let's talk about the last case, right? In the last case, it was the same Reuven who threw the kli off the top of the roof, who removed them. Again, he has to move like the speed of light, and remove the cushion. There's only one Reuven in that case, and yet he's potter. So what I want to suggest was that this is a very cool way of destroying someone else's property without being chayav. Just throw it off the top of the roof, make sure it's directed towards a cushion, and then if you could fly down to the bottom and remove the cushion before the kli actually lands on the cushion, it's going to land on the ground and it's completely smashed. And even in that case, Reuven is potter.
What about the case where Shimon removed the karmic sausage?
Right, if Shimon removes the karmic sausage, then Shimon is potter. Reuven is obviously potter in that case because Reuven's maisa was not his zrika. Why is Shimon potter? That's the rabbi's question, which we're going to get to in just a minute. So the Gemara says, my timer, again, why are we... This my time is not addressing your question. We'll get to your question in a minute, Rabbi. But now we're talking about the fact that the Zorek is potter. Why is he potter? And the answer is Be'idna de Shadye, when he threw the kli, Pasuke Mafsike Gire. Now the word Gire in all of the Zikin is a very important word. It literally translates as his arrows. Right? So if you learn different parts of Nezikim, whether it's Bava Kama or Bava Basra, you know, the word Gire becomes very important. What's happening here is that the Gemara wants to establish that the Zrikas HaZorek is not a Maisa Hezek, because at the moment in which he threw the kli, there was something to cushion its fall. That's called Pisuke Paske Ligire. You know, if you send a stone and it's going to hit against the wall, and that wall is going to create a barrier so it won't destroy that which is on the other side of the wall, or instead of a wall we can talk about a machitza, or for example you shoot an arrow or a window, or if you shoot an arrow at a shield and the arrow is aimed and meant to hit the shield, that's called, again, paske gire. Even if somebody removes the shield, but it doesn't matter because the critical moment is the moment in which the arrow was shot and the projectile of the arrow was meant to hit the shield. Now, Rabbi Sachowitz asks the obvious question, all this is fine and dandy as far as the Zorek is concerned, because since there were karmuk sasos, therefore the Zorek is paske gire, but why shouldn't the mesalek, meaning, let's assume it was a different person and we could talk about the same person, but why should Shimon be potter? That svara of paske ligire is not going to bear any, how should I say, fruit as far as Shimon is concerned. Shimon moved away the karmic susas. So if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Potter, let's see, there are a number of Rashis on the page, Dibra Maskel Potter, so it's a little bit confusing. But let's start with the first Potter, which we did already. That's eight lines up from the bottom. That's not really the first Potter on the page, but for our Limud today, it's the first Potter. And Rashi says, Zesha Shovro B'makil. This is the first case of Rava, where Reuven threw the kli off the roof. It's going to smash against the ground. Shimon comes and beats him to it, so to speak, and smashes the kli. Rashi says, Sharei Sofo Lishover. Those are the key words in Rashi. B'lineder, we come back to this Rashi. Notice that Rashi doesn't say what the Ramban is going to say, that the kli is worthless because it's going to break anyway. Rashi says sofo lishover. I don't know if Rashi's language sofo lishover is the same identical language or svara as the Ramban, who says that it's worthless, the kli. Now we have the second case of patur. This is the case where he threw the kli and it's going to be cushioned when it hits the karmuk susos. Rashi says patur share mizrikaso ein sofali shaver, from the power of his rika, it's not going to get destroyed. What makes the situation of the kli so dangerous? It's only to take away the karim. Rashi says v'zeshen not al karim. Okay, you've told me that the zrika was in effect an innocuous kind of a zrika because it was just going to fall on the karim and bounce up and down. It's not going to break. But what about the person who removes the karim? And that, I think, is your question, Rabbi. He says, "Vafilu azorik atzmo notlon," and even if the zorik removes the karim and the ksusos, potter. Says Rashi, "Degroma b'nezikina." Now, again, we're going to believe that, come back to this. I just want to get a little bit of a taste of the sugya, an overview of the sugya, but the principle of grama b'nezikin patur is somewhat complicated, because between what we call a maisa hezek, be a dayim, a direct maisa hezek, on one end of the spectrum, and grama b'nezikin on the other end of the spectrum, there's the gray area in the middle, and that's called garmi. The classical case of garmi, which is a sugya later on Tzarichas, is Soreif Shtarosov Shel Chavero, which means that a malva has a shtar which enables him to collect a chov. Without that shtar, the lover can either say, "I never borrowed money from you," or "I paid you back." Either way, he wins. And now somebody comes along and takes the shtar of the malva and he burns it to a crisp. He simply destroys the shtar. And the Gemara says that, according to at least one opinion, you're chayav for burning the shtar of your friend. Now, keep in mind, the shtar itself is worthless. I mean, that's not accurate, but for our purposes, it's worthless, right? It's worth the paper it's written on.
The parchment is written on.
Right. Right, the parchment is written on. But for our purposes, in order to determine how much the sorif should pay, the shtar itself, which was the subject, or the object, I should say, of the direct Maisa Hezek, was worthless. And what now, as a result of the destruction of the shtar, the malve will not be able to collect his chov. And therefore, the soref, if you leman didoim din of the garmi, the one who says garmi is chayov, will pay $1,000. He'll pay the full value of the Hezek, of the loss of the chov, which now the malva is unable to collect. And the question here is going to be, and this is true for almost every question of groma, every case of groma, is it groma or is it garmi? You know, in this case, the kli is about to fall. In a split second, it's going to be cushioned. And at that split second that he removes the karmic susos, he causes the destruction of the kli. And the Rishonim want to understand, why does Rashi classify that as grama? L'chor, it's an even more direct hezek than the case of Sorei Shtaros of Shel Chavero, which is called garmi. And yet Rashi calls this case grama. So again, I just want to throw that out there. That's another one of the issues that we'll have to address in the soup.
Can you translate groma and garmi?
Groma means indirect hezek, and garmi means when you burn someone's shtar. That's the only case we have of garmi. The Rishonim tried to extrapolate from the case of Sorei Shtaros of Chavero what makes that closer to a direct maisa hezek, even though, again, it's only indirect because it's going to prevent the malva from collecting his chov. Why is that called more of a maisa hezek in the sense of direct hezek than the case of groma? The classical case of groma, let's just mention the classical case of groma, is hasocher ede sheker lahaid. You hire witnesses to perjure themselves and testify falsely in a bezdin, which means the Eidim themselves would never have given that testimony except for the fact that you made them an offer they couldn't refuse. And that's a case of groma. The Gemara has another case of groma, which is more complicated, where there's a field that's about to be burnt down by the Bala Eish, which means that the Nizak could collect damages, and then somebody comes along and he throws something on top of the produce of the field, the wheat or the fruits that are growing in the field, and he makes it into something called tamun. Are you familiar with that?
Tamun.
Tet mem vav nun. Tamun is one of the categories in the Zikin where the bala eish is potter. But again, I don't want to, Rabosai, lose my experiment, because last week I felt I failed because we got off on too many tangents. The Zikin is very complicated. So, Bershuschem, we'll come back to the issues as they come up. But right now we have a sugya of groma, and Rashi says that the Zorek is potter because of the absence of a Maisa Hezek, and that's because the object is aimed to bounce off the karmic susos. The notel es akarim is part of because of groma, and Rashi points out that even if it's all the same person, the same Reuven who threw the kli off the roof is the same one who removed the karmic susos. Again, you'd have to be very agile to pull that off, but theoretically it could be done. He will be part in any event, because Miman of Shachis Potter, there's no Maisa Hezek from the perspective of the Zrika. And not only that, the removal of the Karmic Susos is only called, according to Rashi, Groma, and Groma Nezikin is Potter. You and I might have said, well, let's combine the two, but Rashi says, we don't do so. Now we're going to soon see, Blineda, that the Rashba is going to disagree with Rashi, and he's going to insist that since he removed the karmic susos, that should be garmi, and the Rashba is going to have to deal with the issue why it's not garmi. So let's just go on again, Rabosi, just to get the overall picture. V'yama Rabba, here's a more more gory case, but again we're dealing with abstract principles, so we have to somehow swallow the blood here. V'yoma Rabba Zorak Tinok Mirosh Agag, right? He's the potential rotzeach. He's killing the baby. Uba Acher V'kiblo B'sayif, and the second rotzeach decided that he's going to do the job first, and he runs and he is able to destroy the life of the child. In this case, as opposed to the previous cases, it is possible to judge and condemn the Ba'acher V'kibbo B'sayif, the second one, we'll call him Shimon, as a Rotzeach. Again, we have to decide why the Zorek, we'll call him Reuven, why he's not considered a Rotzeach. But be that as it may, Rabbi says, Plugta de Rabbi Yehuda Bar B'seira V'rabbana, that this case is dependent upon a machlokes elsewhere in Shas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbanan. Now notice, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbanan is not about the case of Rabba. The brilliance of Rabba is to analyze that machlokes, come to some sort of a conceptual understanding of the root of that machlokes, and then see if we can extrapolate and apply that conceptual machlokes to this case of Zrikas HaTinuk. Disagra. The Braisa says the following. Now, what we're trying to determine here is whether or not you can have many participants, so to speak, in a Maisa Ritzicha. And in the case of Shabbos, for example, when you have many participants in a Melechah Shabbos, then it all depends upon whether each one needs the other one. That's Ze'eino Yochol, V'Ze'eino Yochol. So if, let's say, two people carry a very heavy boulder or whatever package, and they take it from one rishus to the other, they could both be Chayef HaHotzah if the weight is such that one person individually could not do it. That's not the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. His case is a Ritzicha case. And there may be separate dinim in Ritzicha that apply, that don't apply to Shabbos. He ko asara b'nei Adam bi'asara maklos. 10 people participated in the killing of a person. And they all are holding on to sticks, and they are all hitting a person. And now we have the shita of the Tanakhama, of the Chachamim. And they say they're all potter. Okay, they're all kulam p'tur. But what exactly is the scenario? The Rabbanan, it would make sense to say that they're all p'turim if we cannot identify any single person as the rotzeach. That's the case of bivas achas. But on the other hand, what about the case where the first 9 people hit him, he's still alive, the 10th guy came along, he smacks him, and then he dies. Meaning, it was the 10th who caused the death of the victim. And the Chachamim say here, no. Bein bevasachas, bein bozeh harzeh, kulam pturim. And this is a drasha which the Gemara establishes in Masechta Sanhedrin. The most important sugya about Ritzicha is in Sanhedrin on 2 different blocks, Ayin Zayin and Ayin Ches. And the Gemara on Daf Ayin Ches says, what's the reason for the Chachamim that they're all potur? And the Gemara has a drasha. I'm just summarizing very, you know, just giving you the, how shall I say, the tamsit, you know, the concentrated, what do you say?
Summary.
The summary of the Gemara. Ish ki yake kol nefesh adam mos yubos. That's a pasuk in Vayikra Chav Dalid. And it says, ki yake kol nefesh. And the Chachamim say kol nefesh means that only the person who is horeg kol nefesh ha'odam, meaning he himself took the nefesh and killed the person. In this case, he himself did not kill the person. He was standing, so to speak, on the shoulders of those who came before him, and how much more so in the case where they all participated in taking the nefesh. According to Chachamim, if there's no one single person who took the nefesh, which is called Ish Ki Yake Kol Nefesh, if each one took, shall we say, Miktas Nefesh, that's not enough to engender the Chiyuv for Tzich. That's according to whom? The Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra takes the word Kol Nefesh in the opposite way. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Omer, he says, what's Kol Nefesh? Any part of the Nefesh. Not that one person took the entire nefesh by himself as a solo without needing, or shall I say, integrating the other kochos of the other makim. No. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, kol nefesh, any part of the nefesh. In other words, the word kol can be translated in 2 different ways. Kol nefesh means that I took the entire nefesh, or kol nefesh means any part of the nefesh. Like thinking of an example, right? Or for example, what do you have?
Monty's Christmas.
Go back. Means any day of the year, right?
That's the machlokas, the Rabban Ran, the
Rabbi Blotz Menasaria. Or for example, I was thinking the case of the Gemara says Ha'omer Hal Bechol Yom. Bechol Yom doesn't mean every single day. Ha'reza Mecharif Megalif, but any day of the year. If he picks a day of the year, he says, oh, I'm going to say al on this day. So that's called machari for God. The word kol means any. Here also, according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, kol nefesh means any part of the nefesh. And therefore, bazecher zeh ha'achron chayef. Now watch this. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira agrees, no debate about it, that if the 10 people hit him simultaneously, then we cannot identify the rotzeach. In other words, it's got to be one rotzeach. That even Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira agrees. But if we can identify one person as the kol nefesh, which is called, in the case of Bozech Rezeh, ha'achron chayov, he, the achron v'chayev, why? Mipnei shekirev misasa. In other words, that's considered a person that could be singled out and identified as the makir. So again, you can't say that 10 people are considered rotzchim, because again, the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that the opening part of the pasuk is v'ish ki yaker. Ish means one person, not two people. So it's not like in Shabbos where you can have two people chayv from the same malacha. In Ritzicha, you have to identify one person. So if more than one person, if the sum total of force, of power to kill the person, is more than one person, and if you have shutvim in the Maaser Ritzicha, then even Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira agrees that you're patur, because it's not ish ki yakeh. But if we can identify one ish, even though it's kol nefesh, which means any part of the nefesh, which means kirev misasa, and he was the one who actually brought about the death of the nirtzach, the nerag, then he's going to be chayav. Now let's swing back to Rava. Rava says that when Ruvain throws the baby off the roof, and Shimon now kills the baby by receiving it in his on the tip of his sayef, his sword, then according to the Rabbanon, they're both going to be potter. Why? Because nobody killed kol nefesh. Interesting how Rava now analyzed. Again, the sheet of the Rabbanon is you need kol nefesh. So if someone is standing on the shoulders of someone else, and therefore, even though he's makariv misoso, but nevertheless he didn't take kol nefesh, according to Rabbanon, he's potter. So even bezecher zeh potter. Our case, says Rava, is a case of bezecher zeh. But according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, who says that kol nefesh means even miktas nefesh, which means makariv misoso is chayav, here too, the sayev is called makariv misoso. And all the Rishonim are going to stand up here and raise the question of Horeg es HaTreifa. Here's a classical case of Horeg es HaTreifa. We know that a Horeg es HaTreifa is Potur. How could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say, both in his case of Kirub Misoso, and in our case of Notlo Besayev, what's the language? Not Notlo Besayev, but
Kibla Besayev.
So in the case of Bazecher Zeh of Asar Sheiko, you could say that maybe the person, the victim, would have survived the first 9. Again, he was in very bad shape, and we're going to have to hospitalize him in the ICU unit. Maybe he'll be in the hospital for months, but he could survive it at the end.
But also,
right. But in the case of Kibla Basayev, where had he done nothing, the baby would have died. In that case, for sure, it's a Horeg es HaTreifa.
In the other case also, I mean, just because he hasn't died right away from a particular blow, could be considered as a treifa, because eventually the fifth blow could be thick.
Correct. But we know, I guess we don't know for sure. Meaning, if you throw, we know for sure that as a result of the first 9, he's going to die. Maybe not immediately, but a month later, then he's a treifa. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira doesn't make sense. But if we assume, again, I don't know how we know this, you know, who are the experts, but if the experts could determine that despite the 9 blows, he would eventually survive it, you know, again, as I say, he might be hospitalized for who knows how long, then he's not a treifa. If at the end of the day, he'll survive. But in the case of the tinok, there's no way, no how that the tinok could survive this fall. There's no karim uksusas around. And therefore, the makabel b'sayev should be part of the Torah's horigas atrif. Mirtz Hashem will come back to that too. Now, the next case...
How do you know that every murder is not a
treifa? Ah, excellent question. Every victim could be a treifa. And the answer is, that's the Gemara Kulin, that has lead of Bas Aruba. This is what we call Aruba de Lesser Kaman, which is a doraisa, and it's enough to kill a Makalles Aviv or Makis Aviv, it's enough to kill a Rotzeach. The Gemara asks Dilma, B'makam Saif Nekev Havi, maybe in that very spot where the Saif went in, he had a puncture to the organ and he was a treifa. Oh, now the Gemara gives another case, and my impression is it's still Rava. Bas Sharva Kibla Bakarnov, instead of a human being who was Makabal and Besayev, a shar came, and now the question is, does the owner of the shar have to pay kofar? Because Shoro Shal Adam Shaharag is the Baal HaShar has to pay kofar. How much is kofar? So that's going to be the machlokas here between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabban. Plukta de Rabbi Yishmael Benosha Rabbi Yochum and Broka Verabon. Disanya. We learned in a Brisa. Now again, I want to read the first part of the Pasuk. Im Kofer Yushas Olov, it's in Parashat Mishpatim, and then it says, and you have that in Vinasan Pidyom Nafsho, and then the end of the Pasuk is Kekol Asher Yushas Olov. So how do we understand v'nosan pidyon nafsho? He should pay a redemption for nafsho, which means his soul. This is the classical case where my parents used to always say to me, don't use pronouns. Nafsho, whose nefesh are we talking about? So we'll go step by step. According to the Chachamim, it's Dmei Nizak. In other words, the mazik has to pay for the nefesh of the nizak, which is really an application of the universal principle of nizikin, that in general, you pay to replace, again, in inverted commas, you replace the nizak. Whatever the nizak was worth, that's what you should be paying. But Rabbi Shmuel Beno Shel Rabbi Yochum and Broka Omer, he takes the pasuk literally. It says, v'nasan, he should give nafsho, the same person. There's no shift in the persona over here. And that's called dmei mazik. In other words, we shots up, we evaluate the mazik himself, which, again, this is a tremendous machlokes rishonim, what that means. The Rambam assumes that we figure out how much the mazik is worth on the slave market to be sold as an eved. The Ravid assumes that we pay what's called erchim, which is how much we're going to get to that in a few weeks, how much you pay if a person says erki olai, and the major differences between the Rambam and the Ravid. But be that as it may, dmei mazik means that the kofar is really a kapara. A kapara meaning to spare the owner of the shar the death penalty, let's say Schayev Misa, at least be De Shamayim, because he inadvertently or negligently caused the death of a human being. Gamba all of you must, he deserves to die. But the Torah was compassionate and gave, in this case, the possibility of a kofar nefesh. So if he's being mechap on his nefesh, really he's redeeming, he's replacing his nefesh, he should be paying his own value. The Gemara even has a hava meter to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that money should be given to the aniyim. That would be a kapara. Okay, the Gemara rejects that because it's mom chain lo tovim, whatever it might be. But that's called a kapara. But the Chachamim say no. Kofar is not a kapara. Kofar is a dmei mazik, dmei nizikin. It comes under the laws of nizikin. And a machlokas there should be relevant, says the Gemara, to this case of Kibel Hashar Esatinog B'Karnov. If we look in terms of Kapara, then... So this is going to be an issue here. How exactly the Gemara understands this. Let's see, whose Shita would... I'm just trying to think which Shita is more intuitively logical. Just give me a second for a minute. Let's see, should we go... Yeah. If we go with the Shita of the Chachamim, then the Shor Shekiblo Bekarnov, the Baal HaShor should be Potter. Why? Because then we evaluate the Chiyuv Kofer not from a Kapara perspective, meaning how guilty and responsible is the Baal HaShor, as much as from the perspective of Dinei Nezikin. And in this case, in Dinei Nezikin, the bless you, the Shor who's Makablo is Potter from Nezikin. Why is the Shor Makablo Potter from Nezikin?
Because the baby's not working.
Correct, because of the case that we had of Zorak Kli Mirosh Agag, Uba Acher Vishivro, and we said that the Acher Vishivro is Potter from Nezikin. So from the perspective of Dinei Nezikin, again, we're going to have Rishonim, we're going to say just the opposite of what I'm saying, but from the perspective of Dinei Nezikin, if Kofar is to be subsumed under the laws of Nezikin, because Kufra Mamona, that's the Lashon of the Gemara, then the Baal HaShor is Potter from Kofar because of the case that we had before Nezikin, where Baal HaShor is Potter.
This well, the Ramban also said it didn't have it valid.
If, on the other hand, we define Kofar from the perspective of Yishmael ben Oshel, Rav Yochanan ben Broki, that it's a Kapara, then a Kapara is for the lack of watching a dangerous Shor. And since this shor is a dangerous shor, because keep in mind the halach of kofar only applies to what kind of shor? Does anybody remember this?
Mu'ad.
Only a shor mu'ad. There's no din of kofar in a case of a shor tam. The Torah is explicit about that. In other words, as far as misas hashor is concerned, there's no difference between a shor tam and a shor mu'ad. Again, I don't know how you get a metzias of a shor mu'ad that killed three people, and therefore the Baal HaShor is Chayv Kofar. After the first time he killed someone, we put the Shor to death. Okay, there are like 50 answers to that question. That's one of those, you know, those questions. But be that as it may, we're talking about now a Shor Mu'ad. A Shor Mu'ad, the Baal HaShor is obligated in a very high level of Shmira. He was notified that on no less than three occasions this Shor killed a human being. Is if he was poshea in the shmiras hashor and the shor belligerently tried to kill this baby, that itself on, let's call it a moral level, is enough of a pshia and shmiras shoro to engender a chiv kofar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that kofar is what? Is a kapar. Now I'm just going to look now in the Masifta for a second. He, I think, has the other pshat Rishon. Just give me a second. So came just man and a fila einat al shitas Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that it's May Mazik, is Chayovim Abaylim B'Tashim Ka'ot. So he says, my pshat. And if you look in the footnote, he says that the Rabbeinu Chananel is going to say just the opposite. Very good. So what were you going to say? Whenever you speak, I get a chance to drink a little water. It's good.
It seems that the shore would have to make some sort of a deliberate motion to catch the baby on its horns. Because otherwise, what... By what stretch of the imagination should one be watching out for babies falling out of the air?
That's the boshor, the boshor. Next, the Omer Rabba has another case where a man falls off a roof and he becomes a damager. Okay, I'm using that word loosely. It's not exactly a damager in this case because we're going to have a case of Yibum here. That's not exactly a damage case. Nafal Meirosh Hagat. Now, in this case, Rav is going to have another case of Nafal Meirosh Hagag immediately after this. The difference between the first case, which is our case, and the second case we didn't get up to is, what kind of a wind pushed a person off the top of a roof?
What kind of what?
Wind.
Oh, wind.
There are two types of wind in halacha. One is called a ruach mitzuya, excellent, and the other is called a ruach she'ena mitzuya. Now we're dealing with a ruach mitzuya, and a man is considered liable for a ruach mitzuya. And this is the famous case at the beginning of Masechta Bava Kamma of Hiniach Evan Sakin Barosh Hagag V'Naflu Baruch Mitzuya. If a person puts a dangerous object on top of the roof and it falls and damages as a result of a normal, let's call it a predictable wind, again, given the climatic conditions in that place and at that time, I mean, there'll probably be a difference between summer and winter if you know what Mashiv Aruach. In a Ruach Mitzuya, he's considered liable, now watch this, not only for placing something on the top of the roof, but even for placing his body on the top of the roof. His body becomes a projectile, if you will. It's like a human cannon that's being shot out. Now it's being pushed off the roof by a Ruach Mitzuya. And what happens now? V'nitka be'isha. Okay, now, keep in mind, the reason why an isha is being mentioned here is because of the case of Yibum. Truth be told, if we leave out the discussion about Yibum for a moment, let's isolate that, let's just talk about Nezikim, it would make no difference as to whether or not he fell on top of a woman or fell on top of a man. But because Rabbo wants to address the din of Yibum here, Masechta Yevamos now comes to the fore, therefore he mentions Dafka, a woman. The victim here was a woman, so to speak. Now, this is a little bit hilarious for me, because I honestly, I've seen some wild cases in the Gemara, and you always ask, like who thought up these cases? This one takes the... takes the cake. I don't know exactly how to picture what's going on over here. And Rabbi Chananel makes this case even more complicated. Nitka be'isha means, believe it or not, he had an intimate relationship with this woman. Somehow, I don't know exactly how she's positioned and what his Ava looks like. I don't know, there's a lot of questions I have on this, but... Again, if you use your imagination, and he's on his way down, I don't know, he sees this woman, okay? I don't know exactly how he, has time to figure this all out, but anyway, he has a relationship with this woman, and as a result of this fall, two things happen, meaning in two different scenarios. One is she suffers damages, physical harm. Now, when a human being causes physical harm to another human being, that's called what? There's a whole parak in Bava Kamma dedicated to that.
What?
That's called chavola, as opposed to mazik. So we have other mazik and we have chovil b'chavera. And there's an entire parsha in Mishpatim about chovil b'chavera. And from that parsha, it's a case where two men are fighting with each other, and a woman comes down, and she grabs onto his private parts, and so forth and so on. In that parsha, we have five categories of tashlum. And those are five that are uniquely related to what? Chovel. They don't apply to other mamas. So if I destroy your tomato patch, I have to pay the value of the tomato patch. That's called Adam HaMazik Mamoru Shokamera. But if a person assaults another person bodily, then there are five categories that he has to pay. Now, amongst those five categories, we can sort of set up two polar extremes. One extreme is where you're almost always chayev, and the other extreme is where you're... maybe I'm exaggerating, but you're almost always potter. It's where the conditions for your chiyuv are very, very strict and severe. The first category is what we call nezek. Nezek means how much of a damage you suffered, and that means what your value on the market depreciated in terms of being sold as an eved. The other extreme is called what? Boshes. Boshes is very conditional. I mean, it's hard to be chayv for boshes in the sense that you have to have for boshes kavana levayesh. Okay. Again, I'm oversimplifying it because our sugya is going to redefine it as kavana lahazik. But right now, we don't know the chiddush of our sugya. That's classified information. So right now, our assumption is that you need kavana levayesh, which is the classical case of the parasha in the Torah where she went for his private parts in order to humiliate him and protect her husband. That's called boshes. Now, here in this case, the premise of our sugya is that even though he fell Baruch Mitzuya, he did not have kavana levayish. Boshes was not on his mind. And therefore, for sure, he's parted from boshes. On the other side of the fence, he's definitely chayv in nezek. Because whenever the Adam amazik, right, because again, nezek falls under two categories. It falls under chavola and also under Adam amazik. Right? Nezek is the overlap between Adam amazik mamono shel chavero and Adam achova begufo shel chavero. Nezek applies in both cases. Whenever you have a ruach mitsuya, you're chayv for Adam amazik. That's for sure. Ruach she'eino mitzuya is much more complicated because that's the borderline between the gray area between what we call shogeg and onus. Shogeg means there's a certain element of negligence, and onus means no negligence whatsoever. And the question is whether you're chayav for nezikin in the case of onus. And that's going to be a gigantic machlokes between Tosfos and the Ramban. The Ramban is the most extreme shita in Adam Amazik. He says Yechayev even for onus. We're going to have to see how he works out this sugya. But be that as it may, when a man puts himself up on the top of a roof, and we can predict that if the Ruach Mitzuya will come within a certain period of time, he's going to fall, it's going to push him off the ledge, that's definitely called Pshia. There's no question that there's negligence here. You can call him a shogeg in the sense that he didn't have kavanah to fall off, because that would be very dangerous and stupid on his part. But nevertheless, it certainly has an element of shgaga or pshia for which he's chayav in nezek. The chiddush of Rabbah here is, take a look, chayav bar bodvarim. That his status is not just that of an Adam Amazik, he is also a Chovel B'Chavera, which means he incurs all the Chiyuvei Chavola. But again, you'll ask me, why does it say Arba Dvarim? But we know that whenever it says in the Masechta Bava Kama Dvar Dvarim, that's like a code word to exclude what?
Boshes.
That's it's almost like automatic, the phrase, if you did a word search throughout Bava Kama for Dalit Dvarim, it would probably come up a dozen times. And I can guarantee you that in 11 out of 12, it's going to mean the exclusion of Boshes. Boshes requires Kavana Levayish, so that he didn't have. The Gemara now is assuming, according to Rabbah, that he's Chayev as a Chovel. Now, again, the fact that he's Chayev for Nezek, that doesn't bother me. Because he definitely is a posher here. He fell with the Ruach Mitzuya. The fact that he's chayav for Arba Dvarim, which if you take a look at the next line in the Gemara that says, chayav benezek tsar ripui v'sheves, that's a bit of a chiddush. We're going to have to come back to this and try to figure out why he's chayav as a chovel for Chiyuvei Chavolet Zdal Dvarim, with the exception of Boshes. And the answer probably is that once we have an element of Pshia, Pshia converts Adam into a Kavana Lahazik, not a Kavana Levayish, but at least a Kavana Lahazik, meaning that he should have been well thought out before he put himself up on the roof. And if he's a crazy idiot and he doesn't mind jeopardizing his own life or his own injuries, that doesn't exonerate him from jeopardizing someone else's injuries, and therefore he's chayav as a chovel. But Rabbah wants to know what happens if he had a relationship with this woman on his way down. And who is this woman? This woman is his yevama. Again, the statistical probabilities of this happening is what we say in Hebrew, shoif la'efetz. It's I can't even be... begin to you know, you've got to write, you know, children's books to figure out this fairy tale. How it could possibly happen that a man falls off a roof and has a relationship with his own Yevama. Oh. Now, in a case of a relationship between the Yevama and the Yevama, she becomes an Eishes Ish. And if not for Rabbah, and I'm now I'm covering the page, and just thinking on my own, I would have said that in such a case, she becomes an Eishes Ish. Again, I don't know how much credit brownie points he gets for being Makai in the midst of Yibum, because he fell off a roof, but okay, we'll give him the midst of Yibum as well. We'll be very magnanimous. And the reason I say so is because the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, if I remember correctly, it's not Daf Ayin, but don't hold me for that, that if you tell a Yavam a whole fib story, you again, the Yavam has to be, he can't be someone who learns in our Shia, he's an Amoris Gomor, totally Deramus, and you convince him that having relations with this woman is going to allow her to marry anyone else, and it's a substitute for Chalitza. He goes ahead and has a relationship with this woman. The Gemara says she's an Eishes Ish.
To him.
Meaning, Yibum
does not require Kavana.
Meaning, you've convinced him in his mind that this is the way that he can send her out. He can be matir ha l'shuk and break the zikas yibum. He went ahead and implemented that ma'isabia, and lo and behold, she's misyabemes. Meaning, I don't mean that, but I mean to say she was kona. And yet, take a look at Rabba. Rabba says v'yavimto lo kona. So I don't know how to square Rabba's conclusion here with the sugyan yevamos hadaf ayin dalid that says you don't need kavana for Yibum. All you need is the bia itself. And here, you had a mice of bia. So that I don't understand. And then the Gemara says, Avol boshes lo. Why aren't you chai for boshes in this case? This now we learned in the Mishnah. We're going to learn it in the Mishnah, I should say, later on, in the Perek HaChovel. Eino chayev al ha-boshes ad she'ed miskaven. And the next word should be levayish. The Omar Rabba, but Nafal Mirosh Hagag Beruach She'eino Metsuya. Now we have a case of a very unusual wind. It's not predictable. A hurricane kind of a wind. The Hizik Ubiesh Chayav Ala Nezek Upotur Bi Arba Dvarim. What bothers my mind here is why Rabba drops the ball on Yevimto. I don't know. Maybe he felt that if you're not Koni Yevimto with a Ruach Mitsuya, then how much more so you're not Koni Yevimto with a Ruach Sheina Mitsuya. So he didn't feel compelled to repeat that story. But what he wants to focus on are the dinim of Chavola and Adam HaMazik, and he wants to say that in this case, he's Chayav Al HaNezek, which by the way would sound like the Ramban Shita, that Adam Muad Li'olam applies even in the case of Ones. If I assume that a Ruach Sheina Mitsuya is Ones, Tosis is going to have to say that Ruach Sheina Mitsuya still involves a certain level of Shia. He could have thought it all out and realized that who knows what's going to happen if a gust, you know, an unusual strong gust of wind would come by. But Potter B'Arba Dvarim, he's not considered a Chovel B'Chavera. As far as Dine Chavol is concerned, he's anus. But as far as Nezikin is concerned, there's a special, unique halacha, Adam Muad Li'olam, Ben B'mezid, Ben B'shogeg, and Afilu B'shogeg HaKarov Leonis, or according to Rabban, Afilu Bonus Gomor. However, he's potter for Boshes, and the reason for that is why? Because he didn't have Kavona Levayesh. And now, the Gemara says, Beruach Mitsuya V'hizik Ubiesh Chayav B'Arba Dvarim U'Potal HaBoshes Im Nishapech. Now what exactly goes on here in the case of Nishapech? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is about 10 lines up from the end of the perek. He says, "V'im nishapech li'achar shehischil linfol." After he began falling, says Rashi, "Diniskaven linfol al ha'odam lehana osa." I have trouble with this Rashi. Just Teichbert. I don't know what Rashi means, but somehow he swings himself around while he's in midair, and he has a definite desire or intent through by doing the somersault in the air to benefit from this fall. Again, I don't know exactly what benefit he gets over here. That's not clear to me.
That his fall is broken and he doesn't hurt.
But I don't know, Rashi says Lahana also. I don't know, Lahana also, it sounds like...
Maybe he's doing capoeira.
He's getting any benefit. What did he say?
Maybe he's doing like jumping
then. I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe Lahana also means what you said. If you like, I thought Lahana also means a positive Lahana. In such a case, Chayv al Boshes. Now wait a second. Are we saying that Lahana also means that he had Kavana to be Mavayish? If you take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel, Dibur Maskil V'Omar, he says he puko be puko is kavin lahazik. He only had kavana to hit somebody on his way down. Maybe the cushion is full, but he didn't have kavana to be mavayish anybody. Desanya, because we learned in a brisa. Now, in order to appreciate this brisa, we'll quote the pasuk in the Chumash. This is in Dvarim Chafei. It says, Ki inotzu anoshim yachdov ish v'achiv v'korva eshes ha'echad lahatzil es isha. That's what the Vapikei miyad makehu v'sholcha yodav erzika b'mevushav v'katzosas kapo v'mashma shenema. This is the Brisa. V'sholcha yodav. It could have just said Vishalcha Yada Eini Yodea Sheikh Zika. Obviously she's doing something to prevent her husband from getting hit. So why does it have to say Vehech Zika? Matamulom Vihzika Lomar Lakha Kavan Shiniskavin Lahazik Afal Pishalon is Kavin Levayish. And now the Gemara has a radical shift between what we understood as the precondition for Chiyuv Boshes, namely Kavana Levayesh, and the Gemara's Maskana is that no, you don't need Kavana Levayesh. From this pasuk of Hechzika, we're going to derive that all you need is Kavana Lehazik. And therefore, if a person is Mahapich himself in mid-air, which indicates that he has Kavana Lehazik, then he's Chayev not only for Dalid for, but he's even Chayev for Boshes. Let's just finish up the last case of Rabbah. V'yomer Rabbah, hiniach lo gacheles alibo. This is an unbelievable chiddush of Rabbah. He says that he placed a hot fire on the heart of his victim, umeis. Okay, that's not a chiddush to me that he died. Potter. Why is he potter? Isn't this a classical case of a maisa ritzicha? And Rashi says something which surprises me, but I don't have a better shot in this Gemara. Alibo meis potur, says Rashi, shahoyolo lesalka. So we're going to have to assume that he had a split second in which he could have shaken off the gachelis. So I'm not sure exactly what the Gemara means here. According to Rashi, maybe the Gemara means that the Rotzeach can't be chayav and held liable for tzicha if the Nirtzach could have saved himself, or which means that the Nirtzach in a sense here is a posheah. Or maybe what the Gemara means is that since the Rotzeach in this case anticipated that his action would not end up in Ritzicha, then that's not called a Maisa Ritzich. So I don't know if the Gemara is being Mechadish that the Pshia of the Nerag is itself a Mafkia of the Chiyuvei Ritzicha. In other words, from the perspective of the Meiniach, he did a Maisa Ritzicha. The reason he's part is because there's a new there's a new positive counterforce, which is called Pshias HaNerag. Or maybe what the Gemara means is this is not considered a Maaser Tzicha at all, because the Rotzach had every reason to believe and to assume that the Nirtzach, before he dies, before he gets damaged, would shake off this Kachelis. Albigdo Vindisraf, instead of the victim dying, the victim's garments were burnt. Chayav. In such a case, the mazik is chayav. Now here I don't understand. If we're saying that there's a pshia on the part of the nerag, in the previous case of Rava, because he could have been misalik, he could have taken off the gachels, as we saw in Rashi, why not apply the same logic here to Nezikin? And Rashi says the following, Chayov, it's a pillar of a Rashi. Rashi says, the Hadalo Salkha, you'll ask me, why didn't the Nizak remove the Gacheles? Savar, he had a better conclusion. You know what, I have an old garment here, it's already used. Now I have an opportunity to buy a new one. Why? At Be'inu Le Bedina, I'm going to sue him in a court of law. The Yifrali, and he's going to have to pay me. Very strange kind of halacha. But again, this seems to mean that there's definitely a maisa ritzicha, a maisa nezek, just that there's a separate ptur because the nirtzach or the nizak is a poshea. And the Gemara says in the case of ritzicha, he can't make any calculations. His life is on the line. He's got to get himself out of here. However, it's not called pshia if you want to wait until the nezek reaches its fruition and then sue the mazik in a court of law. Amar Rava. Rava wants to support this last breakthrough of Rava. Travayu Tnanhi. Tnanhi means I found it in a Mishnah. Meaning I can find both Yochidushim in a Mishnah. The first one is Al Libo, where he puts the gachels on his heart. Just one second. Disnan, okay. This is a Mishnah in the Sechta Sanhedrin. Again, in those sugyas in the ions, you know, that deal with Ritzicha. Kavash Olav, Litocha Or, or Litocha Mayim. A person forces someone into the fire or into the water. The Eino Yochal Lalos Misham, there's no way out. Umeis, Chayat. Even though he died because of the fire or because of the water, he's chayav. The chafa l'tocha or l'tocha mayim, if he didn't hold on to him inside the fire or close his escape route, the yachal lalos misham, so that the nerag had a possibility of pushing himself out of the water or pushing himself out of the fire, umeis, but he didn't do so, potter. Again, either he's part because there's no Maaser Tzicha, he's part because there's a pshi on the part of the Nerag, I don't know. Big Do. Oh, now we get to the second case of Rambo, and that's also codified in this Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Big Do. If he destroyed the beged of his friend by putting a gacheles on the cloth, on the garment of the Nizak, that also I could bring a raya from the Mishnah, the Snan, or this is a Mishnah here in a ready Bava Kama, Kra es Ksusi, Shvar es Kadi. If a man says to his friend, rip my clothing, or break my kli, Chayav. Wow. But Almanas Liftar. There are two languages he could use. One is Kras Ksusi, or Shvaras Kadi, and the other one is Almanas Liftar. Then, and only then, are you Patur. Now, what's the difference between the two cases? Rashi says, Divra Maschil Chayov, Hachi Kamerle. This is what he said to him when he said Kras Ksusi. Im tirzeh, if you want, if you like, cry, you can rip my garment, but vishalem, you'll have to pay for it. Aval pirish lo al menas liftar, then he's potter. So this, says Rava, is a proof positive to establish Rava's principle. Because you would think that this is mechila when he says kras ksusi. No, it's not mechila. You know what? He meant to say, I'll get my money back. I'll sue you for damages. Now, in all the cases above, Rava has no doubt about it. He doesn't vacillate. But now in the case of Eved, boy, Rava, he vacillates about this problem. He niach gacheles alev avdo. What if in this case he put the gacheles on the heart of his Eved Kenani? Not his own Eved Kenani, but the Eved Kenani of his friend. And the Eved Kenani could have easily run away or pushed off the gacheles. Mahu. Should we say in this case that maybe he's chayev? Why would he be chayev? Ki gufo dami. If we treat the Eved as any other person, so then he should be potter. Because again, the Eved was guilty of not shaking off this gacheles. What's the sfarat to say that you have to pay in this case, which is called Shloshim Shel Eved? O kimamono dam. Well, we're going to treat the Eved as the mamon of his Adon. The Torah says if you destroy an Eved of a person, you have to pay that master 30 sloim. And if you burn someone's kli, or you burn someone's behema, you're always chayef for that. Here too, you burn someone's Eved, then even though the Eved has the ability to remove the gacheles, nevertheless the Adon is not mafsid. Meaning, from the perspective of Ritzicha, we said, well, the Rotzeach is potter because the Nirtzach, the Nerek, should have removed the gacheles, right? The hot fire. But in the case of the Adon, who has a tvia, he's collecting damages from the Soref, from the Horek, because his Eved belongs to him, and the Torah grants him the rights to collect and sue for 30 sloim. In this case, you don't say that because the Eved was negligent, and because of his Pshia he died, therefore the Adon should lose his rights in Dini Mominus, the Adon Lechud and the Eved Lechud. In other words, if you're dealing with Dini Ritzicha, then Enochinami, you're not a Rotzeach, because the Eved has intelligence, he should have protected himself and saved himself. But if you're talking from the perspective of Nezikin, which is a monetary lawsuit because you damaged my property, then the Adon doesn't have to lose simply because the Eved was a Poshe. And again, I come back to my original position that the Hanocha of the Gacheles is certainly a Maisa Hezek. Himtim Salomar Kigufo Domi Shoro Mahu. If somebody places a Gacheles onto a shor, and the shor dies, would the person who placed the gacheles be liable for damages? I'm not exactly sure what the suffix is. Apparently, the Gemara wants to know if we should treat the shor also as gufo. Hoder pashti avdo kegufo shoro kimamono. In the case of an Eved, it's arguable that the Adam, that the Meniach is chayev because he did something which is a killer action, to kill the Eved. And this is not a killer action. He had every reason to assume that the Eved would be Mesalik the Gacheles. And that's called Avdo Kigufa. But in the case of the Shor is considered his Mamon, and the Meniach is Chayov. Now, again, the Meniach is Chayov for doing a Maisa Hezek. But ask yourself the question, should he have anticipated maybe that the Shor would remove the Gacheles? And maybe in this case we don't rely on the Shor. You know, the Shor is not a Bardas. He's not an intelligent being that we should assume that he would remove the Gacheles. I see it's getting late. So let me just spend 5 minutes and then I'll let you go on the Rashi in the case where the Sheni, we'll call him Shimon, remove the Karim Ksusos. Rashi says he's potter. Why? The last Rashi on the page, Chavav and Beis, because of Grama bin Ezekiel. Correct? The last Rashi on Chavav and Beis. You have that? So the Rashba asks the following kash. Why isn't this called Garmi? Why is it any different than Soreif Shtarosov Shel Chavir? Yeah, what do you say? The Rashba makes a chiluk. I'm wondering if you
Grama, could come up. With Grama, he didn't move the Ksosos.
Right.
But by Garmi, you Soreif the object itself. Here he removed something, he didn't touch the object.
So let me read to you the language of Rashba. I think he's saying the same thing. The Rashba says, "Kol she'eino osa ma'ase beguf ha'chefetz is nechshav grama."
Right.
"Avo besorish darosov kemet she'osa ma'ase beguf ha'chefetz havi garmi v'chayim." Now, if you take a look at Tosis on the bottom, "Kol ha'mesilko." Pirush Rav Alphys, the Rabo Litane, the less late Dina de Groma. Excuse me, the Garmi. Meaning, according to Rav Alphys, says Tosfos, this is a case of Garmi, just that Rabo happens to be on that side of the fence that Lo Dain Dina de Garmi, that you're not Chai for Garmi, that even Garmi, as close as it is, it still comes under Groma. Ulari Nira, the Ha Groma bin Ezekiel who potter l'kuli alma. That even l'man the doyin dina the garmi. This is not called garmi, and that I think makes sense according to the Rashba. The Shach says that the person who threw the kli off the roof, he says that he's only potter. Right? What do we say that? Zora klimi rosh agag barcher v'shivro potur. Right? Why is the zorek potur? After all, he put the kli in a situation where it's going to be destroyed. And the answer is because his zrika didn't destroy the kli. Because at the end of the day, it was the other person who smashed the kli, and he was the one who destroyed the kli. Why isn't the other one chayv? As we said, mana tvira tova. Says the Rashba, the only time that the Zorek is potur is if he pushes the kli off the roof. But if he picks up the kli and throws it off the roof, says the Shach, in such a case, he's chayav. Why? What's the difference between pushing the kli off the roof and picking up the kli and throwing it off the roof? Says the Shach, in higbias ha-kli kidei lezorko, Hareu Gazlan v'chayor. The Shach wants to say that there's a difference between Mazik and Gazlan. In the case of Mazik, even though you did it in such a way, you put it, your action guarantees that the kli will be smashed, but nevertheless, you're not chayor unless it came to fruition and your Maisa Zrika was responsible for the I call it the death of the kli, the destruction of the kli. But in Gzela, the din is that unless you can return the object that you stole, you're going to be chayev. Now, according to the Shach, when you push someone else's kli off the top of the roof, that's not called a maisa gzela, that's called a maisa hezek. You can only chayev me din nezikin. But if, on the other hand, you pick up the kli, at that moment that you pick up someone else's kli, you become a gazlan, and therefore you have to return the kli. So the Chazon Ish says, wait a minute, the Gemara says, Zorak kli mirosh shagag. Zorak doesn't mean dochav. In order to throw a kli off the top of a roof, you got to pick it up. Says the Chazon Ish, HaGemara mashma misimus ver de'en l'chalik. And therefore, even if he picks up the kli, nevertheless he's potur, v'atam, de'eno nechshav gazlan, he says. He says that it would depend. If the Shach is talking about a case where there's no karmic susos on the bottom, then you're right. Then picking up the kli should be a maisig zeil. But if, on the other hand, he picked up the kli in order to throw it down on karmic susos, that's called gazon al menas lahashiv. That even though taking someone's kli is an act of zeila, but since he threw it on karmic susos, that's not what ended up happening. His intention was to retrieve the object and return it to its owner. And here's a gewaltig chiddush of the Chazon Ish. He wants to say that in das hamagbia hoya lahashiv lebailim eino mischayev b'toras gazon. Now, it's even though he violates this exil the very moment he takes the kli, nevertheless he's not a gazon as far as chiyuvei hashava concerned, because he never took it out of the reshus of the bailim. And therefore, that's considered a chiyuv mazik in the worst case scenario, but not a chiyuv gazlan. Now, since there were karam uksusos to catch the fall of the kli, therefore he's not chayiv b'toras mazik. He's a chayiv b'toras gazlan because there were karam uksusos and he intended to return it. He's a chayiv b'toras mazik because there were karam uksusos and the object would not get destroyed. And therefore, says the Shach, even though he was magbia v'zorei, he still is not chayev as a gazel. But in the case of Zora Kli Mirosh Hagag, the first case of Rava, where there were no karmuk susos, according to the Chazon Ish, it comes out that the Shach is right. He should be chayev mishum gzela. He had no intention of retrieving the kli when he throws it off a roof. And therefore the question remains, why does Rava say in the first case that he's potter, he should be chayv b'toras gazlan, unless you assume like the Shach that the word zarak here doesn't mean the way we think it means, that he picked it up and threw it, he just pushed it over the roof, and that's a tzarak even go. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here.
What are we going to do next time?